A little bit odd, but I'll explain what I mean by that later on. But we're going to be talking for this week and next week. We're going to be looking a little bit at the book of Proverbs. And that's a book that we don't often speak about on a Sunday morning. So this will be maybe a little bit different. But let's just begin by committing ourselves into God's hands. Then we'll read the few verses from Proverbs in chapter 1. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness to us. I just want to thank you for what you've done in our lives already this morning, Father. We just want to thank you that you are a good God and a God who delights, Father, to give good things to your children. And, Father, we just want to thank you as we look at your word this morning. We just pray that you would just speak to us and encourage us and be with us now. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So chapter 1, Proverbs, if you've got Bibles, if you turn there now. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, I'm sure many of us have no people who we might think of as being wise, but some Phil's shaking his head. Don't be insulted. Okay. Okay. Well, sometimes you can get people who are very clever who can do very stupid things, as I'm sure you can think of all sorts of cases. I'm sure we could all think of rather stupid things that we've done at times. It might make a good social evening. We could all share a stupid thing that we've done. And so, wisdom is not the same as intelligence. Somebody once said that intelligence enables you to win an argument, but wisdom enables you to avoid the argument in the first place. And there's something true about that. Wisdom's different from knowledge as well. So one person once said that knowledge teaches you that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom tells you that you shouldn't put a tomato in a fruit salad. And so so wisdom is different, actually. It's a deeper thing than just knowing something, and it's different from intelligence. And I'm going to be speaking a little bit this morning about this subject of wisdom. And the word for wisdom, the Hebrew word, is chokhmah. And as always, the secret of using a word in a foreign language is to say it very loudly and very confidently, and nobody will ever dare to question your pronunciation. So chokhmah, can you all say that? Chokhmah. That, excellent. It's good to be amongst so many good biblical scholars. But anyway, the word chokhmah actually is quite a deep and a broad word in Hebrew. And so when you're reading the word wisdom actually in Proverbs, the meaning can be quite broad. And when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, in fact, in different places, three different Greek words are used to substitute chokhmah. And each of those in terms has got a different English word. And the first one is the word sophia. And the word sophia actually means a real understanding of what the world is around us and how we as humans live in response to that world. When I was in Bible school, they actually said it's about insight into the very nature of reality. Well, there's a very strange saying. But sophia is all about understanding what the world is around us. And as Christians, of course, we believe that the world was created by God, and we are part of God's creation. So that's sophia. But then there's also another meaning, which is the Greek word phronesis, which in English is often translated as prudence. And prudence is a slightly old-fashioned word in English, isn't it? But it was there several times in the passage we've read out, for attaining wisdom and discipline, understanding words of insight. In fact, that the Greek word, the Greek translation is sophia, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, and that is phronesis, in fact, That's a second type of wisdom. And there's a lot in Proverbs that tells us how to live our lives on a practical level. The English word for that is prudence in the NIV. And there's a third word, sometimes it's translated as arete as well. The word arete just means excellence. So you could arete can describe the skill of a craftsman, but it really describes someone who is really doing something to the very best of their ability. And as Christians, it's all about pursuing the Christian life or Christ-likeness as God wants us to do. If you study very old-fashioned Christianity, there's a list of... Oh, sorry, I should say that arete is translated into English as virtue. And if you look at very old Christianity, in the medieval times, they have a list of seven different types of virtue, beginning with prudence and ending up with love, and all different things that Christians are encouraged to aspire for. So wisdom actually in this book is quite broad. It actually begins with actually looking at the world around us. It talks about how we live our lives, and it talks about something that we can aspire to, all this excellence. So Proverbs is the first of a group of books called the Wisdom Books in the Bible. It's followed by Ecclesiastes and Job. And I might say something briefly about those two books later in the year, in fact. So Ecclesiastes talks about what wisdom is when things are going very well in life. When things are going well, it's what does God say to us in those circumstances? And Job obviously addresses a little bit about what happens when things don't go so well in life. Today, though, we're looking at Proverbs. And I'm just going to make 4 points, if I have time, in 15 minutes. The first is the final verse that we read out, when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or later in the Bible, it's later in Proverbs in chapter 9, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And let me just talk a little bit about that. I think we often have heard people talking, what does the fear of God mean? And we often have discussions, does the fear of God really mean the terror of God, or does it just mean the worship or reverence towards God? But I'll just put it to you this morning that actually in the book of Proverbs, what the fear of God really means, it's a recognition actually that God is in control. Actually that I'm not actually in control of everything in my own life, but God is in control of the world around us. In fact, you could summarize a lot of what Proverbs saying by just repeating that God is the creator. God has made this world. And I think we often live in a world today where things seem so stable. We live in a country where we don't fear invasion by another country. In that sense, we feel quite stable. We have a health service that's quite reliable. And sometimes we can actually begin to feel that everything is actually under control. But actually then sometimes things happen in life that show us that really isn't the case. I think this coronavirus that's come out, that is a bit of a shock, isn't it? That something is happening in the world that we are not really able to do anything about. And so actually in spite of everything that we have, here's something that's cropped up we can't do anything about. I always remember when I first came to Newcastle nearly 30 years ago, I think I'd been here for about 3 years at the time, and there was an IRA bomb attack in Tyneside. I don't know whether anybody can remember that or not. In 1993, I think it was. And it just happened about a mile, just over a mile from where I lived at the time. And I remember Denise saying, it's strange, isn't it? You always associate the terrorist attacks with things that happen in London, but here it's happening right on our doorstep. And again, it just brought it home at the time that actually things can happen that are not actually under control. And finally, another sad thing in my own life, I remember quite clearly a moment when I got a phone call from my dad that told me that my mum had just been diagnosed with motor neurone disease. That's about 20 years ago. And then suddenly, we can think about so many things that we can see happening in the next so many years. But at that point, suddenly I knew that for the next sort of 10 years, everything I would have to do, or the main thing I would have to commit to, was sort of looking after my mum as she deteriorated in that disease. And suddenly we could have these things in life that just show us that we are not really in control at all. But the message of Proverbs, it says, is that when we fear God, fearing God is just knowing that God is actually in control. And actually knowing that God is in control is the beginning of true wisdom for all of us as Christians. And I think knowing that God is in control does give us a certainty and security in our lives. And it's actually a greater security than the physical security that we have as people living in Britain today. Belief in God, of course, the well-known verse in Revelation where John writes that God will wipe away every tear, there will be no more death, there will be no more mourning or crying or pain. There's a very great certainty that we can all have by knowing that God has created the world, God's created us, and God has placed his purpose upon our lives. In that way, we can actually know that we have a great hope ahead. We actually know also that what we do is not in vain. Paul said, your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, he says. We should know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. We know that God is someone who doesn't forget what we've done. This is a verse that really jarred in me a little bit or stood out when I read it. So maybe this is important for someone today. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Maybe there's someone today who's just feeling a bit weary and is questioning where things that have been done many years ago are forgotten. Well, God says, no, those things are not forgotten. God will not forget your work and the love that you've shown him as you've helped his people. There is something actually in being a Christian and knowing that God is in control that does give us this security. If you compare that to human security, the good example of that is the parable of the rich man, the man who actually had this big crop and he built bigger barns. Do you know, he said, got this big crop, what am I going to do with it? I know, I'm going to build an even bigger barn so I can store up all this crop and then I can just relax and take life easy. And he said, no, in fact, this very night your life is going to be taken from you. Then what's going to happen to all of this? You know, and somehow when we try and make control ourselves, we end up getting obsessed or controlled by things which actually are not so certain. Build up treasure for yourselves in heaven, Jesus said, didn't he? Where moth and rust doesn't destroy. So the fear of the Lord, knowing that God actually is in control and knowing that, you know, that he is my creator and my security, whatever security I can really have, has to come from him. That actually is the beginning of wisdom. The second point I'll say is that wisdom actually is hidden. If you want to add a Christian term at the end, you could say wisdom is hidden in Christ. David actually was speaking of wisdom a few weeks ago. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives? Yes, or who gives generously without finding fault. So if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. We read in the book of Proverbs later on that, I think also in chapter 1, in fact, wisdom calls aloud in the street. Sometimes you think, well, with God is so willing to give wisdom and there's wisdom in the streets around us, sometimes why you don't hear so much wisdom day to day in life. I'll just say just a couple of points about wisdom being hidden. I think sometimes wiser people tend to say less, actually. I don't know whether you think that. It says in Proverbs that a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim folly. And I think there is something sometimes in the world around us, the person who shouts loudest is the person that's heard most. But actually, there's something about a wise man who doesn't rush off to shout and to speak and to display wisdom. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Wise people tend to listen maybe more than speak. And I think wisdom is linked with humility, isn't it? I don't know if anybody here tweets. Does anybody here tweet? We've got one tweeter. Well, there's one good verse for anybody who tweets. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I think there's so many people tweet something out, then a second later think, oh my goodness, why on earth did I say that? And you have the people desperately trying to cover up odd things that they've said in the past. Be careful what we speak. So a lot of wisdom actually is hidden, actually. And what we see around us is the wisdom that we have in the world. And that's actually very different, actually, to God's wisdom. When Paul is writing about that, he says the wisdom in this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it's written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So no more boasting about human leaders. And there have been so many clever ideas, haven't they, about how we can make the world better. And I think some of them work to some extent. But ultimately, when Paul writes about the wisdom of God, he actually writes in the book of Corinthians, he says, well, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus actually is personified. He is the wisdom of God. And it's interesting, actually, we have so many different ideas about how to create a better new world. And most of them last for about 50 years and then disappear until the next idea comes along. You know, when Christ actually came, when God sent his son to live as a man who died on a cross, and then and when he died, he bore the penalty for our sins and he was raised to life. That is a way in which God intervened in the world and has made the world a better place. And this apparently small event is still being talked about and lived in and has consequences to us 2,000 years later. And it's interesting, actually, that we can have ideas of whatever you like, socialism or capitalism or all these different human ideas, but actually they will all pass away and then something else will come along. But actually Christ crucified is something which was, you know, once and for all, as it said elsewhere. And so the one thing that we can always say is if we actually want some wisdom for our life, the answer really is, just as we did earlier on, just to look to the cross of Christ. And actually, if there's anything, I'm sure if you're like me and you think, well, I've done so many stupid things, well, I'm sure we could all equate to that. The only way actually to get beyond our own limitations is to give our lives to Christ and to trust in him. And so where is the wise person? Paul says, Jews demand signs and miracles. Let's see what great miracles you can see. No, it wasn't a miracle that God actually did. It was actually his son dying on the cross that paid the price for our sins. The miracle was Jesus raised from the dead. And that's when people asked Jesus to show them a miracle. That's what he actually said, wasn't it? Greeks look for wisdom. But actually, God's wisdom is shown in Christ Jesus. And so that's wisdom, if you like, in the New Testament. James, don't want to keep running over what David has said in the recent weeks. Who is wise and understanding among you? James says, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth, because such wisdom doesn't come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's a strong word, isn't it, actually? That's a very strong word. Human wisdom leading to bitter envy and selfish ambition is earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. But in contrast, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, this is still in James chapter 3, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And the wisdom of God, it seems like foolishness, as the quote I read out, as Paul said, the wisdom of God displayed in his son dying on the cross. But that the wisdom of that is seen from the fact that it's still having impact on our lives 2,000 years later. And human wisdom just passes away. So you'll hear many things said in the world, and there'll be many people saying a lot of things, but the wisdom from God is different from the wisdom of the world around us, and true wisdom is from God. Right, let's push on. My third point, one of the things about wisdom, actually, if you look at the book of Proverbs, one thing it doesn't say is make sure, become wise, and it's not about arriving. One thing you should never do is you should never think, I'm wise now. Never ever say I've arrived. The most important point is not to acquire wisdom, but to always seek wisdom. Okay? And seeking wisdom is a calling in the Christian life. Again, in Proverbs, it says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Okay? It's that seeking after God that is true wisdom. So to know that you lack wisdom shows, in fact, you do have some wisdom after all. Okay? If you think you've got wisdom, then that really shows that maybe you don't have too much wisdom after all. But if you seek wisdom, God will give you that wisdom. And if you desire wisdom, you will get it. And as the verse I mentioned earlier, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So to know you lack wisdom is really to have wisdom. The Bible was full of stories of Jesus encountering people who thought they had wisdom, and it turned out they didn't. Very often, if you read John's Gospel, he met people who came to him and said, well, we know that blah, 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 blah. Then after a little bit of conversation between the two, it became quite clear that they didn't know that at all, actually. They were completely mistaken. I've already mentioned the rich fool and his bigger barn. And we see many situations in the Bible where people who are really godly people, godly men and women of God, they actually sought God day by day. The obvious story is often read out this, actually. It's slightly obscure. It's in 2 Samuel. It's about King David facing the Philistines when they came to camp in a valley called the Valley of Rephaim. Don't know whether you know the story or not. It says the Philistines came. They spread out in this valley. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack them? Will you deliver them into my hands? The Lord said, yes. Go, I will surely deliver them. And he did indeed do that. And that's verses 19 and 20. Two verses later, it says, once again, the Philistines came up and spread out in this same valley. It's interesting, isn't it? How many people would say, right, well, I've got my experience in God. I know just what to do. I just go straight out and God will deliver them into my hands. So easy when if you're in Christian leadership and you've done something for many years, it's so easy just to rest always on what you did yesterday, actually. But David, of course, was a man after God's own heart. He inquired of God, God inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answers, don't go straight up, he said. Circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. I won't read out the whole story, but it's interesting that God actually gave something different to do the second time. And I think that just illustrates this point about a godly man always seeks God. You don't think, well, I've got my store of knowledge, therefore I don't need to seek God anymore. But somehow, as humans, it's so easy to do that. Now, I'm sure all of us have sat in a church service. I don't know if anybody of you is thinking today, well, I've heard all of this before. Well, if you're thinking that, well, maybe you need to hear it again, actually. But sometimes it's easy to listen to something and think, well, I've done that before. And if that's how you think, we might say, well, why read the Bible twice? When you read it once, you're finished. And of course, no, we obviously read the Bible continually. So actually, it's all about seeking God. And as we seek God, God gives us the wisdom for that moment. You know, the mercies of God are new every morning, actually. And it's good that every day we pick up that mercy and that wisdom for God that we need in the day's situation. So in Proverbs, if you want to know about these two women, so there are two women mentioned. One is the woman who is wisdom personified in chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn its seven pillars. She's prepared her meal and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She's sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come in here. And she says to those who lack judgment, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. A few verses later, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that I quoted earlier, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So that's one woman that you could chase, the woman of wisdom, actually. The passage continues, but the woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet and food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. So there's two women. There's wisdom on one side and there's folly on the other. And both of those call out for us. And you have to make a decision. Which woman am I going to chase after? In Bible school, they said, why are these personified as two women? And the teacher said, well, it's probably because the people studying the Bible 3,000 years ago were all men, and that's why they used an example of two women to talk about chasing. But be all of that as it may, the important thing is that we choose to chase after woman wisdom. Come, drink, eat of my bread, she said, didn't she? Where's that verse? Eat my food, the NIV says, or eat my bread is the literal translation, and drink the wine I've mixed. Very Christ-like, isn't it? Almost very similar to what Russell read out just before communion, talking about eating the bread and drinking the wine. In contrast to that, the other woman talks about food eating in secret being delicious. Now, I don't know what picture you have, eating food in secret. It doesn't really mean tiptoeing downstairs and getting something out of the fridge when nobody's watching. Has anybody ever done that? Only one person brave enough to put their hand up. Oh, two, three. Oh, right. Okay. Anyway, I think the important thing is, what does that actually mean? I think that's really talking about those secret thoughts and things that are in our minds. Sometimes our hearts can be full of things which are not good, and can sometimes seem sweet to us when we think about them in our minds. But actually, this leads to folly. This is the woman of folly speaking. Instead, we chase righteousness. So I don't know what types of food we actually find pretty tasty ourselves. What do we think about? What do I read? What do I watch on TV? I will not gorge myself on things that lead to folly. Food in secret, it might be delicious, but it leads to death, as it says at the end of that passage. Instead, we'll just play the long game. When I was a new Christian, somebody gave me a poster, which I dutifully put up on my wall as a student, and it had one verse in the bottom corner of it that says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, growing ever brighter until the full light of day. And sometimes doing the right thing is a bit like that. Sometimes you only get a little pinprick of light, but the important thing is, you still do that, even though it's only a pinprick. And as you move along that path, that pinprick becomes wider and brighter until eventually you will experience that full light of day and that full light of God's goodness. So actually, seek wisdom. Never ever think that you've become wise or that you've arrived. Just day by day, seek God. And finally, the last thing I'll say today is that wisdom leads to a good life. There are many verses that give promise, good promises as we put this into practice. In fact, part of this book, you could summarize it as saying that good acts give good consequences and bad acts lead to disaster. For example, the faithless will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back to the one who sets it rolling. Sometimes if we plan something which is bad, that will actually come round and it will land upon ourselves. And that is because that's the way that God's made the world, actually. Sometimes doing something which is completely immoral might seem like a nice thing to do, but actually it will within itself bring the penalty for that later on in life. And somehow there is that sort of a little bit of justice in how God has made the world overall. Maybe that is part of this understanding the nature of reality. I don't know. I mean, that's often how things work in life. So there are many proverbs that encourage us to actually pursue what is good. And of course, as Christians, we do that just by clinging to Christ and immersing ourselves in him day by day, of course, as Jesus is the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. There's all many, many verses like this. And I think these are not really statements that are always true. I think they are generalizations of the world that God has created. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked grows hungry. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that in Britain we are all very righteous and people in Africa are all very wicked because they don't have the food to eat that we do. But it's a statement within our environment. As we seek God, God responds by giving us good things. So when you read Proverbs, it's not a set of statements that is true in every detail, in every situation, of course, in life. They are proverbs. Proverbs are statements of, you know, if you tend to live like this, then this is probably the consequence that will flow from those. Blessed are those who find wisdom. Blessed are those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields more returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. It sounds like a well-known chorus, doesn't it? Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste, but know that wisdom also is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. So, what am I saying today? I think, above all, just remember that the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom actually starts with knowing God and fearing God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I think when we look at the world around, you see this virus, you think, well, goodness me, how will all of this end? Then I think that just reminds us that I'm not in charge. I will actually fear God and commit my life into his hands, and just to know that whatever security we have actually just comes from God's eternal promises to us. Secondly, I talked a little bit about the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, and how it's our day-to-day challenge is just to seek after God day by day and take his wisdom for the circumstances that we face. You know that God is a God, as I prayed earlier, is a God who just loves to give us good things. And when we see the choices that we have in front of us in life, the challenge always is to honour God and take the good thing that he gives and just put to one side the less good thing that may also be available to us. And in doing that, we'll actually just see God's blessing and God's purpose actually established firmly in our lives. So that's a little bit about wisdom in Proverbs. Next week we'll talk a little bit more about practical wisdom, prudence, if you like, use the old-fashioned word, and how to actually live our lives in view of all of these things. But this morning, let's just close with that thought that says that God actually is in control. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our security is from you. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you created the world in which we live, and we are your creatures. You have created us. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you give us these wonderful promises that you will not forget. You will not forget the love that we've shown you and the service that we've done that you've asked us to do. We thank you that you promised, Lord, that there is a future with no more tears and no more pain. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when human beings, in all their cleverness, couldn't work out how to come close to God, you yourself provided the way by sending your Son to die on that cross. And Father, I just want to pray for all of us here this morning that we will just give our lives to Christ day by day by day, taking forgiveness from you and blessing and wisdom for all that we need. Lord, we just pray for this week ahead. Just be with us, be with those whom we love. And I just want to pray that you would help all of us to be those who seek after you in all things. And yes, maybe we acquire wisdom in that process, but that will not stop us seeking for more and to meet you daily, to take from you. Father, we just want to thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all the many good things that we've experienced this morning. We pray, Father God, for your blessing and presence to be upon us this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.